Welcome to Cloud Talk Radio, where listeners hear from business leaders about relevant topics from marketing to cash flow management. Tune in every week with hosts Robert J. Chandler and Keith Enix and stay engaged with a growing audience of like-minded entrepreneurs. Learn critical business skills and get answers to questions that help you manage better businesses. Cloud Talk Radio, your business resource in the internet age.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cloud Talk Radio. This is your host, Keith Enix, and I'm really excited to have you guys with us today as we are going to be talking with a special guest, Steve Galler. He's the CEO of Pinion, and we're going to be talking to Steve about the top attributes of a great business leader. He's got a lot of experience in the marketing field specifically. He's been in TV, and of recent he was actually the CEO of Porton Interactive, a internet marketing firm here in the Seattle area, and he had a lot of experience with a fairly large team. I believe Porton has about 25 different employees there, and they've grown quite a bit actually in the last few years. The company actually doubled while Steve was there in revenue. So very interesting story, very interesting interview that we have today. One of the things I'm always thinking about as a business leader is what's that attribute in me that I need to grow to get to the next level? And the great thing here on Cloud Talk Radio is we can talk to different industry leaders who have a, what I would say, 20/20 hindsight vision on what that is. What is successful? What can help you build that breakthrough team? And Steve talks about that today as he talks about some of those top attributes that helped him take Porton Interactive from a $3 million to $7 million a year company in 3 years, as well as this current company he's in, Pinion, who's an authoring delivery measurement tool for surveys, quizzes, and polls. You can go to pinion.com and you can see the business there. And I'll put a link down in the description for that as well. But they work with big brands with content and getting quizzes and polls and things like that. And just Steve has a very interesting viewpoint in the marketing communication world, because what's interesting is he bridges the gap between old traditional marketing medium sources, which he'll talk about how he really loved that part of the field, traditional marketing and TV, but he just noticed that there was going to be such a change in communication to the digital space that he really needed to get out. So interestingly, he went from being a leader in the TV space, CBS, specifically vice president there, and he then ended up over at Porton Interactive, one of the largest digital marketing firms in the U.S. for their specific niche. So they are a very respected brand. So very interesting interview to have today. Glad to have Steve with us. We're going to actually dive right into today's interview so you guys can hear the entire thing. It's a little bit longer interview today. But before we get to today's interview, let's just go to a quick commercial break, and then we'll bring Steve in. We'll see you guys in a sec.
Are you a business owner or accountant looking to get an edge over your competition? Are you looking to save time as well as generate more revenue for your business? Well, then you need to check out cloud9realtime.com. Cloud9 Realtime offers business owners and accountants a fully cloud-based desktop of QuickBooks and business applications in a central location. You'll be able to collaborate more effectively with your customers on QuickBooks and discover more efficient business hosting tools. Save time for yourself and your clients, as well as gain access to the Cloud9 Realtime community, which provides you with information and tools you need to help your business grow. Visit cloud9realtime.com today to learn more. That's cloud9realtime.com.
Well, welcome back to today's show. This is Keith Enix. You're listening to Cloud Talk Radio, and we are talking with Steve Galler, who's the CEO of Pinion. Pinion is an authoring, delivery, and measurement tool for surveys, quizzes, and polls. And we're going to go ahead and talk to Steve more about what that means. And we're also going to be getting to our main topic, which is the top attributes of a great business leader. So, Steve, I want to go ahead and say thanks for being on our show and introduce you and ask you, how did you end up being at Pinion? Maybe give us a little bit of your backgrounds, how you ended up there.
Okay. Well, thanks, Keith. I appreciate you having me on today. This is exciting. I joined Pinion about 3 months ago and came from most recently, I sold my ownership stake in a digital marketing firm called Portent, Portent Interactive. And spent about three years there working with that great group of people, and specifically Ian Lurie, who's a renowned digital marketer. And before that, I was in the television business, and my last position before leaving television, I was the general manager at the CBS-owned television station in Seattle. Prior to that, I'm actually from Minneapolis and worked for Fox and et cetera. So that's kind of my quick background, and I ended up at Pinion because there's just kind of this nice confluence of media marketing and advertising that was coming together with what Pinion offers. Pinion had been around for a few years and really had initially tried to work into the market research space and pivoted probably about a year and a half ago when some key clients saw what they had built. However, they asked them to do it in a little different way. So what happened is you started getting publications like Time, Money and Fortune, Carnival Cruise Lines came on board asking them to build it a little bit different. Could it actually provide different solutions that they weren't finding in the marketplace? And so there's a great group of devs and engineers at this company who built this thing out to be this extremely robust platform. But where they needed a little help was, where do we take it from here? How do we build this business? How do we go to market? How do we leverage all this great energy and momentum we have? And so that's where I kind of came in, and it just seemed like the right time at the right place with the right group of people with the right product. And so that was right after the first of the year here in 2015, and off to a great start.
It's interesting hearing the story. I kind of want to dive into that a little more. How you ended up from TV into this digital space? That's quite a transformation. What was it that compelled you into that digital space? Why did you make that change?
Well, as I had moved my way up through the ranks within the television industry, that's really where I thought I wanted to be. But as you know, when I was within CBS, I was by far the youngest VP in their group. And as I would go to meetings and really learn more about the direction that the company was going, I didn't hear much about where the audience was growing and where new content was being developed and being shared. And that was online, that was digital, that was mobile. And while it was very important that that television executives understood that, and they did really within the companies that I worked for, it's just that they have such a big ship to turn that they have to they have to placate Wall Street and all these things, and so they just weren't able to, in my opinion, turn quickly enough. That doesn't mean that it's not valuable. That doesn't mean that it is not an immensely important part of any marketing campaign, et cetera. It's just that everything was going online. It was going to more one-to-one relationships with a consumer and social sharing and all those types of things. And so I wanted to take all this experience I had from, running an organization, being in media and marketing, and understanding how agencies buy and how in-house marketing departments operate and what's important to them. I wanted to take that and transfer that into this kind of burgeoning space, which was a little bit of the Wild West, if you look back even five or 10 years ago. And so that's, I just honestly, one day my wife and I had a discussion and I just left. I left a VP job at CBS and set out on my own basically to help technology companies, digital companies. And one of those relationships that I built was with, was Ian at Portent. And we had a great relationship for 3 years and, as things kind of changed and turned and I accomplished what I wanted to at Portent, I wanted to try something new and Pinion was the perfect opportunity.
Yeah. You'd say the Wild West, of marketing. And I just think back 5 years ago when we started our company, in my evaluation, just the difference of how people searched and using the online space, it seemed like after the economic crisis there in 2008, a lot more people were making a shift to online. And the reason why I say that is because I actually started off in marketing in the print side of things, so kind of in traditional type of advertising like you, Steve. And I saw a huge change going on in the industry, not only just from – it's like you say TV still works, but it was kind of like – digital was, the new sliced bread, I guess.
Yeah.
But what were some of the things in the digital space that you just saw maybe lent such a filling of the holes of more traditional marketing for businesses that was so appealing?
Well, I think first and foremost was the accountability factor of anyone who's spending a dollar in digital marketing. There's actually relevant analytics that you can look at in real time in many cases to understand what you're doing. So you can, traditional spaces and print's not as much this way, but certainly television and radio were very incumbent upon a really antiquated, kind of research, Nielsen and whatnot. They were a month late. They were all quantitative numbers. There was nothing qualitative about it. And so that was probably the biggest thing, because I just kept running into a wall, which, our clients would say, prove that to me. Prove to me it works. And there really was a very, outside of someone walking into their store and saying, hey, I saw your ad for this Toyota on TV. That was it. But, beyond that, I think it was just the effectiveness of it. It is a step closer to face-to-face, to identifying and understanding who your audience is, which allows you to have more of a two-way relationship with them. You can actually have pull versus push campaigns. We actually get feedback. So, you don't – it's not just, hey, for every 100 – a cost per 1,000 play per se. That just is very, to me, limiting. And – I was really interested in creating great campaigns and having great engagement and understanding an audience and what our clients were trying to accomplish, and being able to take all that information and almost in real time make changes on the fly and understand who you're talking to. It's so much more dynamic that's where I wanted to move with it.
There's a question that's been on my mind over the last few days. It's this generation of new marketers who gets into digital space and does not have experience in traditional methods of marketing, and it's on the topic of content. And this question was, and what's nice is, Steve, you bridged that gap. The question is, do you think that new marketers of today might adhere more to a hack, like, say, SEO, ranking a keyword, as opposed to actually communicating well, which is what you have to do in traditional marketing? You have to have a very good message to your target demographic. Do you think that there's something lost there?
Well, for me personally, I definitely think there's something lost there. I think the fear is that everything becomes about the numbers and not actually about the emotion of creating great content. And so there's all the cliches, content is king, et cetera, and that is true. It really is. I mean, so I don't care if you're creating a great social piece or a great blog. People engage with that. At the end of the day, you want people to engage with it, and they're not going to engage with, very rote things that are put together by a marketing department, because that's going to get the numbers. So, again, maybe I'm biased because I come from a space that literally, if you had crap on the air, you're going to get a crap audience. And that is what it's all about. So it does come up to, for me anyway, and for those folks that have never actually been in the space to understand what good and bad is when it comes to content, I definitely think there's a missing there.
No, it's a great point, and a question I think that I was just thinking off the top of my head might be well answered by somebody who's been in both spaces. A few podcasts back, we had Cyrus Shepherd on there, and he was talking about the importance of blogging. And a lot of times you might hear you need to just blog. huge amounts, but Cyrus was just making the point, no, you know, just make something that's really high quality, even if that's just a frequently asked questions page, that's just really high quality for your specific niche and industry.
I couldn't agree more. So, the quantity does not equal quality, right?
That's right. Well, I had to ask some questions on marketing as, you know, of course you came from the same field as me as a CEO, and I know we're going to be talking about attributes of great business leader as a CEO of a digital marketing firm and now as the CEO of Pinion. What does leadership mean to you?
You know, that's a great question. I think it's changed for me over time, and probably because, you know, you mature and you go through some battles, but I mean, to me, leadership is probably a few things, and there's being able to identify and really understand and strategize specific opportunities for your company, identify what you're good at, what you're not good at, and really move down that path. But I think with any good leader, it's really about the people that you surround yourself with. So, I mean, I'm a huge believer that even though we are in a technology-based world, and a lot of the, you know, the industry that, you know, Keith, you're in, that I'm in, is very driven by technology. Boy, it almost makes people more important, to be honest with you. And so it's about hiring great people. It's about empowering those people to be great, giving them the support. And for me, get out of the way. If you've hired the right people and you've empowered them and you give them what they need to succeed, let them succeed. Don't micromanage. And so to me, that's true leadership. I don't, you know, and you know, being a manager is one thing, and being a leader is separate. And I know that's maybe cliched as well, but it really is. If I have to do it all myself, number one, I'm not going to be as good as other people are. But then we can't scale, and we can't be successful, and we can't grow a company. And we certainly can't grow people, which is, again, what it's all about, in my opinion.
You know, you mentioned that point, growing people, and it just reminds me of a lesson that we've been learning here at Fanit about different levels of people. We kind of were thinking about this, partners and I, and we were thinking about levels 1, 2, and 3. And if you were to take it on just a general level, level 1 is somebody who can do tasks.
Yep.
Level 2 is somebody who can do tasks and can understand what the results were of their tasks. Level 3 is they can understand what the results were, and then they can make recommendations based upon those results to somebody else.
Sure.
And what we realized was we had people who could do level 1 tasks, but we were expecting level 3 recommendations out of them. And that was we were missing the boat.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to get frustrated at that person. But how do you take somebody who is a level 1? How do you take them through that process to level 3? I mean, I guess that's a pretty big question, though. Do you have some thoughts on that, Steve?
Well, I'll tell you, the first thing that comes to mind is I think you have to, before you start, you have to identify what this person is capable of. You know, I used to use the analogy, just because I can run fast doesn't make me capable of being a wide receiver in the NFL. It's, you know, you kind of have to say, okay, what are they capable of, and put them, you know, do the old good to great Jim Collins analogy, and put the right people in the right places on the bus. And so if a level 1, as you're describing them, if that's what they're really good at and what they're capable of doing, and maybe they don't have the ability to get to the next level, I'm okay with that, because we also, you know, we need people to do that. I think the hard part is actually identifying people that haven't fully reached their potential and helping them get there. And that's part of that empowering and supporting people that from a leadership standpoint. I got to be honest with you, there are less of them than we think there are as owners of businesses and things. And that's why it's a pretty competitive market out there for those people. But I always love finding the diamond in the rough. And I think I was one at one point. You probably weren't as one point where you didn't really know what you were capable of, but there was someone that stepped in, a mentor or the right boss or, you know, the right situation at the right company that allowed you to blossom into what you are. And so it's a little bit of a two-way street. And to me, it's finding that identity and allowing – it's a little bit like parenting, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of correlations.
Yeah, you know, what do you get at? You know, I've got two daughters, and one of them is an amazing athlete, and the other one's okay. And so I'm not going to try to make the other one, you know, be a soccer player because she doesn't really want to be. So that's okay.
That's a great point. It's kind of, you're sort of referencing that Peter principle a little bit.
You know,
taking somebody beyond what they're really good at and then expecting something out of them they can't really do, you know.
The first thing you can do there is that if you promote someone into a position that they're actually not qualified to take, well, you've actually hurt two positions, the one they took, and you took them out of something that they're already doing well. So now you've got two problems, and that's dangerous as well.
Well, you've mentioned a few things as far as what you see is what makes a strong business leader, I think. What are maybe just a few points on that that I think you've mentioned, you know, being able to see where people can go, you know, clearly and things like that with their skills and abilities. What are some other attributes that you see?
Well, I think from more of a, maybe an introspective look at leadership, I think there's things obviously like skills and talent. You know, you have to have something there that makes sense. But, you know, as I've kind of knocked around and read and I guess worked with people, there always seems the ones that are really good and the ones that you want to get behind seem to have a great deal of energy and positive passion around what they're doing. High integrity. You know, if they say they're going to do something, they're going to do it. You never have to worry. You never have to second guess someone. I'm a huge believer in only working with people who have some level of self-awareness. I'm sorry. That's just such a.
That's hilarious.
We've all worked with people that are just, you know, I don't know what it is, but self-awareness, competitiveness. We are in such a competitive world that you've got to have a little bit of that. That doesn't mean cutthroat. That doesn't mean being cocky. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. It just means you've got to want to win. Although it's okay if you don't, but then you're probably not in the right position if you're trying to run a company. So, I mean, a lot of that stuff gets into, you know, there's IQ and EQ. And I put as much, if not more, stock in the emotional quotient of a leader versus if they're really, really bright. So, I mean, those are a few ideas that come to mind.
Yeah, it's one thing to be really bright, I guess, on a book smart type of thing, you know, way. It's another thing to be really bright on being able to inspire a team and let them help them get to that next step. You know, not necessarily take a bite of your entire vision that you have for the company all at once, but helping them to get to that next step. That's really, really difficult.
Yeah, it is. And I guess for that to do that as well, Keith, you have to be able to be a good communicator. So, you know, that I didn't mention that, but those are obviously a few things that come to mind when I think about who are really good leaders for companies. And really, when you start talking about these things, it doesn't matter what business you're in.
Or what you're doing, I guess.
No.
Like say, a parent, you know, you could be that as well.
Right. So. High energy, have integrity, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's very true. So what would you say as far as leaders out there are some of your favorite leaders and why?
Boy, that's a tough question. You know,
you can't say Steve Jobs.
I didn't know Steve Jobs, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, some of the things you do hear about Steve Jobs, I'm not sure I'd want to work for him. I'm not sure he was one of the people that I've just, at least for me, just talked about empowering others to be successful. I think he was brilliant, but he was very controlling, and it was his vision, and he didn't have another one. And that made it very, very successful.
And I'm glad you're mentioning him, actually, because the reason why I say that is it's kind of so cliche. People, I think, who've not been in a leadership role – because Steve Jobs is just so popular, they say, oh, Steve Jobs, amazing leader. But unless you're actually in a position of leadership, it's like, boy, the tools and ways he motivated people, I cannot use those to motivate. I mean,
it's old school to me, and it just and it doesn't work. And I'm being in the world we're in digital, there are a lot of younger people, you know, millennials or whatever you want to, you know, I was using air quotes as I said that, but that's not how they like to function. They just don't. And people in our business, they want to be creative. They want to be collaborative. They're not cutthroat competitive. I look at Microsoft's a great example. Microsoft just changed the way that they promote people in the last year from what they had been doing for the previous 15 or 20, because it was all about cutthroat. It was about, I'm going to beat you. And it was not a collaborative environment. And so they've actually changed that. And I just think that's what's happening here. But so specifically a couple of names, I guess, and these are names that people would know. So I'm just, Alan Mulally, who's not in our business, but here's a guy who ran Boeing, run Ford through the crisis of 08, 09 and 10, et cetera, never took money from the government. The guy's a turnaround agent. He builds businesses, he builds culture, and he just has a belief in what he does. I mean, you go from running, and he was actually in the running to take over Microsoft, whether he backed out or they didn't feel he was the right fit. But here's a guy who goes from the aerospace industry or the airline industry to automotive, and then looking into a technology company. That the guy's got something, right? I mean, he's got that it factor, and people follow him, and he's super respected. And so that's someone who's a little closer to our world. Reed Hastings with Netflix. I mean, what I find interesting about this guy, he think about when Netflix was, 4 years ago? It was a mail order movie.
Yeah.
That's it. And this guy, even though he did it very, very clunky when he split the business to try to go, you know, half his business was going to be broadband and the other half is going to be mail. And he split it out, and that was egg all over his face, and it could have crashed at that point, but it didn't. Right. And now, in an essence, it's a complete online business. It's very disruptive, particularly from the business that I was in for 15 years, television, kind of over the air and cable. It's incredible. He's kept that vision all the way through. So, those are people that I look at and say, man, and I don't think they're necessarily better or different than what you and I bring to the table. It's just, part of it is they're just focused on what they think they need. They have a vision and they figure out a way to get it done. That to me is inspiring.
Wow. No, it's great points and great examples as well. What about the challenges that leaders face today? What do you think? You mentioned a few. I mean, what's different between now and 25 years ago, where we have a totally different workforce, like you say?
Yep.
It's weird. I was going to mention we have a workforce that is addicted to Google, not so much addicted to the TV. And you mentioned Netflix, which is a fascinating thing because, you know, how many of my friends don't even have a TV in their house? They have Netflix, and then they tune into ESPN or something for their sports, you know?
Again, it's one of those things where I left, and it's part of the reason the business model doesn't work. As soon as my girls are old enough where they don't, I mean, my older daughter, she doesn't watch TV. Anything she watches is on her laptop. And so as soon as my younger daughter is old enough where she doesn't really care about, you know, Disney Channel and all that stuff, I'm going to cut the cord and have, there's a couple of services that are coming out, and whether it's Apple TV or whatever, that might be 20 or 25 stations, a little more a la carte. Now that might kill the business. But as a consumer, I don't want to spend $200 a month on stuff I don't care about. And that's just the nature of it. So anyway.
Yeah. As opposed to, your $8 Netflix subscription.
Exactly. And so maybe it needs to do all this research. And the reality is people watch about 12 to 15 channels. That's it. They don't watch 200. For the most part, you watch about that many. And interestingly enough, you have about 12 to 15 go-to websites as well. That's just pretty much what people have in their preferred world. Is 12 to 15 of whatever, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You get what you need.
As business leaders, one of your points was about communication being important. As we enter more into a digital world, winning better employees, things like that. As competition becomes more stiff, I think as we have more tools to communicate with people via cloud services, you know, before you even talk to them, it's almost like they can get to know you. You know, in inbound, we talk about how, as far as business to business type of services, most people who come in as a lead are going to have pretty much checked you out and been basically pre-qualified themselves. Yep. Without a salesperson. How is that going to affect business leaders, you know, challenges in the future?
Well, I think you just identified a great opportunity for your business, Keith, because not only are you trying to create fans as customers, I think you have to create fans as potential employees as well. And so that's about marketing, and that is about, you know, getting your brand in the right places to the right people. That's about, you know, blogging and doing all those things that we do for clients in terms of digital marketing. You got to do it for yourself. But you're really, not only are you trying to get clients, I think you're also trying to create a reputation where people want to work for you. And that's what it, or you could have the opposite and, you know, and companies will fail because they're just not going to be able to recruit people.
Some great points. Well, we're coming to the end of our show here, Steve. I'm wondering, do you have any closing thoughts for our listeners on leadership, any sort of books that you'd recommend or websites, blogs, things like that that might be help to them?
Yeah, I'll tell you, not off the top of my head. I'll tell you one thing. For me personally, I'm a history nut, and so a lot of the books that I read are going to be biographies and things like that. So, usually biographies are written about people who were leaders, you know, and it's, whether it's Churchill or anyone in those realm, that's definitely one of the things that I try to read a lot about because it's inspiring to me. You read Steve Jobs' book, you learn a lot about these people, but you also learn about their style and what worked, what didn't work. That's where I get a lot of my inspiration, a lot of my thoughts. And, you know, quite frankly, I think whatever success I've had in the world has probably been more through trial and error than it has been reading it out of a book or a blog. But,
that's excellent. Well, and go ahead and put a plug in for Pinion. What is Pinion?
We are a digital content and generation platform. So what we do is it's a SaaS-based technology that allows our clients, whether they're publishers like a Time or a Money or a Fortune, whether they are marketers like a Carnival Cruise Line that is trying to get feedback so they can actually allow for better experiences. So we do that through helping companies with our platform, which is a proprietary platform, to help them create those audience response features. A lot of times they're done in quizzes and polls. For instance, right now we are hosting on our platform the Time 100, and we've had about 13 million impressions in the last 5 days since it launched. Wow. But what Time's able to do with that is they are now able to compile all that data. They are able to leverage that into more advertising, and it's a more engaged audience than just having a static article that pops up. So, you know, we help companies create those things and give them guidance and give them the tools really to create those types of audience response features.
That's great. Well, I'm going to go ahead and put a link to your website here in the description. And really appreciate you being here today, Steve. We've learned a lot. Just great to have a guy who's been in the TV space and also the digital space to kind of give us a little bit of inside information on, leadership styles and some differences that we're going to be hitting today, as well as marketing, too.
Yeah, so, great. Perfect.
Yeah, definite. Well, thanks for listening in today. If you haven't, go ahead and check out past episodes at cloudtalkradio.com. Be sure to tune in each week, 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Tuesday. We're right here in... We're interviewing different industry leaders that can help you grow your business. This is Keith Enix. Hoping you have a great week. Be sure to keep your business growing and your tools in the cloud. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks so much for listening to Cloud Talk Radio with your hosts, Robert J. Chandler and Keith Enix. Want to listen to past shows and stay up to date on new ones? Check them out online, cloudtalkradio.com. We'll see you next time.